We're talking with mayors from all over Wisconsin as part of a series of conversations here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our next stop is Rhinelander, the seat of Oneida County in the North Woods. Rhinelander's population is just over 8,200 residents. Looking at the new U.S. Census figures, Rhinelander saw modest growth, about 480 people more than the 2010 census. Do you live in Rhinelander or another community in northern Wisconsin? What issues are most pressing? Is it the safety of drinking water and addressing PFAS contamination? What about the viability of downtown businesses and empty storefronts? It's 800-642-1234. Chris Fredrickson has been the mayor of Rhinelander since 2018. Mayor Fredrickson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with PFAS, which have been found in two of Rhinelander's drinking water wells at last check. What is the city doing to try to remedy this contamination?
The city is taking a unique approach with a no-fault, no-blame, putting our resources towards fixing it as quickly as possible. When about 2 years ago, when this started to come around, I thought, what happens when you have a problem that is larger than the people, larger than the process that it got there, larger than the process that's there currently to fix it? I said, you had to think outside the box. So I reached out to UW-Madison and a researcher by Dr. James Tingem, and with him and a group of very dedicated, wonderful individuals, including UW Extension's Miles Alexander, Brittany Beyer from Grow North, Stacy Johnson, who was with WEDC, and some other care individuals, we started putting together a process of really analysis of how you fix it. How do you educate the people and how do we get there? That's brought us to now where we're looking at pilots and we're waiting for that infrastructure bill so that we can start on fixing it, removing it from the soil and the water.
We talked with Eau Claire's utilities manager recently, how they're dealing with well contamination from PFAS, and they're considering drilling new wells or building a water treatment center. Is that any of that on the table for Rhinelander?
Absolutely. The two wellheads we have are close together, so filtering that water is a possibility. But from some of the things that we've learned in other areas like Woodbury, the plume gets quite large quite quick because it's a ubiquitous chemical. That being the case, drilling new wells might just be somewhat futile to the point that it'll be there sooner or later. It's a chemical that travels. So filtering is key, and especially for some of our smaller cities here in Wisconsin that aren't going to be able to drill and continually drill to find some of these areas.
So when you look at filtering, what are the costs associated with finding a solution to PFAS? And is it affordable for Rhinelander?
Well, once again, when we looked at some of the places in the past, the southern part of Michigan spent $50 billion removing this chemical in GAC systems, which are activated carbon, just to put the chemical in northern Michigan in a hazardous waste dump. So it's not gone. That being the case, you know, people had asked me, well, what's your end game? And I said, the guy that invented the wheel did not have to understand tire tread, air pressure, you know, anything else. He just knew he had to get to market with X amount of bushels of corn or whatever it might have been. That's our job, too, is just start the innovative area where creative thinkers can get together to start to look at how to fix this. Pilot programs, using them, studying them, being very clear as what removes a chemical, how it removes a chemical, and not worrying about the sales, not worrying about the market chip, but actually truly just looking at, okay, we're here to fix this problem.
How often is the city testing water for PFAS? Are you on a schedule?
Yes, we started out monthly on that schedule of testing for it. It went to bi-monthly, and I don't even know if we moved to quarterly, but our numbers have been low enough that it's not an immediate concern. When we first tested, our PFH excess, which isn't even on the PFAS P4, was 590. And I believe Minnesota limits it at 42 or 47.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chris Fredrickson, who's mayor of Rhinelander. And you can join in. Do you live in Rhinelander or an area town? What questions or comments do you have about how the city is doing? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Chris, let's move on to the pandemic. Oneida County has had more than 5,000 cases of COVID, 92 confirmed and probable deaths from the pandemic, according to State Health Department numbers. How has the pandemic changed Rhinelander?
Anything that you have as a root cause and it's caused death, it creates fear and it creates concern. So it creates a large amount of emotion. That being the case, I believe we did a really good job staying safe during the height or the peak periods when those would come and go. We come from a pretty conservative county that likes their freedoms and will fight for their freedoms to get outside. But we also have pretty spacious areas where you can get outside and enjoy the North Woods the way it is without being very congregated. So I think, to tell you the truth, the dedication of the staff, the health department, we've done a good job keeping people relatively safe.
Perhaps the pressing issue here is, has the Hodag received its COVID vaccine?
As Aaron Rodgers would say, he's immunized.
Goodness. So what is the real story of your Hodag, your beloved mysterious horned creature that is all over Rhinelander?
First of all, we're the only one. It's a beautiful thing to have where people identify you. You can travel overseas, and if you have something with a Hodag on it, there'll be someone somewhere that will recognize you for that. So having that kind of recognition, that kind of branding is just a gift in itself. Next, the pride that comes with it when it comes to our community. Some people would be confused. They would ask Rhinelander, is it a tourist town? Is it a retail town? Is it a manufacturing town? I'm going to tell you the one thing you never doubt is it's a Hodag town. The people here are Hodags. They find a lot of pride in it. It comes from a story that was started by Gene Shepherd way back when, and it's continued to this day and been embraced by, I think our Chamber of Commerce just reported that they had the emoji made out of a Hodag. 70.9 million likes or views. So
speaking of the Chamber, how are Rhinelander's businesses doing after almost 2 years of the pandemic? What is it like out there?
One, workforce is probably an issue more than the pandemic itself that way. Everybody paused, and when they paused, it gave people a chance to look at different lifestyles, working less, spending more time with family, so on and so on. So it's decreased our workforce some. That being the case, even restaurants that have wanted to open or open up full time, like every other city, they have trouble staffing those hours. That being the case, just here in the last couple of weeks, a couple of our wonderful downtown restaurants that had closed either during the pandemic or shortly before are reopening. So we're gaining that steam. It was a festive summer that way. The downtown people out on the sidewalks, walking, having libation, just enjoying themselves again. So it was a good feeling.
So what I'm hearing, though, staffing and finding the workers is still a problem in your neck of the woods.
Absolutely. When I came on 4 years ago, I was a write-in, and I wasn't quite sure which direction to aim my pillars of accomplishment, what I want to do, how I was going to get there. And we aimed towards parks as amenities for young people. The COVID or whatever brought people somewhat home because they realized that the people immediately around them are the people they wanted to be around. That being the case, we're in a housing shortage, and I know other places are also, but we had the housing study done, and we absolutely need to start moving on that. We do have one project now that's got concrete. They'll build this winter, start housing people there, but our need was large.
We're going to talk about housing here in a moment with Rhinelander Mayor Chris Fredrickson explaining the issues he takes on in his city. It's part of a series of conversations we're having with mayors from all over Wisconsin. What would you like the city to do about economic development as the region's paper mills continue to go dark? Have you struggled to find adequate housing or work in the Rhinelander area? Do you have broadband? How is the city doing as a retail hub? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mayor Fredrickson here on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with mayors from all over Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're focusing on Rhinelander with Mayor Chris Fredrickson. A housing needs assessment for his city was launched earlier this year. Results were presented recently. Reporting in the Northwood Star Journal, the study authors provided dozens of recommendations. What should be done about old housing stock in your city? What priority is housing compared to fixing roads and other infrastructure? 800-642-1234. Mayor Chris Fredrickson is with us for about 10 more minutes. So with the housing study, you know, cities around the country and the state are struggling to provide housing, particularly that's affordable to working class families. What is the situation like in Rhinelander?
I'll say we were stuck. When I look at problems, there's like mechanics to the problem. So you look at the parts of the mechanics of the problem that you can move, and it was pulling out some of the cogs in the machine that weren't moving, so you can start moving some of it forward. Rhinelander being an industry town, being, you know, you pointed out the fact that we have a paper mill, also being the medical hub for the Northwoods. We have the three major providers, or now down to two major providers here in the city. We had X amount of housing stock and X amount of land. So what are the ways you can pull those cogs out and start getting it moving? A housing study drives where you can look to do that more efficiently and with better results. Some of ours that we found were, we don't truly understand the cost of what living is until you dive in and do a deep dive into that housing. Truly look at what our residents, our people can afford, and look at what they want. So that was a 91-page study that allowed us to take a good look at it. We'll form a task team, whether it be a redevelopment authority or likewise. We'll use some of the ARPA dollars as far as moving that forward to get it on stable ground. We also recoded and rezoned the city. It was the first time since 1966. So that helps developers come, because they understand that you're up to date with all the rules and laws, and they have a clear picture of what they're looking at. Those are some of the steps we took, and now it's listening to the people and making sure they get what they need and want.
You mentioned American Rescue Plan Act, the relief aid from the federal government. What impact has that had on Rhinelander?
To tell you the truth, we've taken a very patient approach. Rhinelander serves about 25,000 people just with the townships right around it. So even though we have 8,200 people here, we serve a larger population with our infrastructure. That being the case, our county, you know, county government got $6.9 million. We're due two chunks of $400,000, so $800,000. So looking to take those programs and group them together to get more bang for your buck, larger demographics being taken care of or whatever. Even when it comes to housing, new cap, which will take foreclosed properties and turn around and redo them, that's a county program. So making sure that gets off the ground with the city and the county, so that houses just in the area completely get rehabbed and moved along. So our patient approach with ARPA dollars is so we could be the most effective with it. That being the case, we've taken the suggestions from some of our department heads. We'll collaborate those with our council and a wish list, and then also reach out to the people and have an open session again, where they kind of can look at what some of the problems are. As a leader, as a CEO, one of the things I do with the city is alpha deltas. What are our strengths and what are our weaknesses? Anytime you get an injection of cash, one of the things you want to do is promote your strengths so you even get stronger, but then also cover some of those deltas, some of those things that you haven't paid that much attention to in quite a while. So if that's more robust staffing or whatever the case might be, some area where you're not that strong at. So we're still looking at those so that we don't waste this opportunity.
Mira, let me ask you this. You know, with this 91-page housing study, how do you make sure it doesn't get put on a shelf and collect dust?
Absolutely. I'm a big mayor of dialogue and accountability. Some say I'm a little pushy. I grew up as a coach. So even if you do great today, I'm going to want you to do even better tomorrow. So that being the case, you build a staff around you. You hold them accountable. You push for those things that you need and want, realizing there's limitations, and you give grace when they don't meet it. But now the fact that we identified those 12 things, we're going to take them one at a time and make sure they start to happen.
Do you miss coaching?
Oh, I you know what, tell you the truth, I love those little hodags. I'm only here because I'm only here because I want to give them the best place in the world to live someday, and they deserve it.
We're talking with Chris Fredrickson, mayor of Rhinelander. You can join in at any point here about economic development, about Rhinelander's future, about the water quality, 800-642-1234. Ned is joining us from Sparta. Hi, Ned. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. I wanted to backtrack a little bit on your previous discussion about PFAS. As a former solid waste manager, I'm aware that landfills, with all our stuff in there, produces waste component called leachate, which is a liquid that can move out of the landfill area in older landfills into groundwater supplies. And more currently, most landfills have some kind of a lining, which means that the leachate has to be collected and then typically taken to a wastewater treatment plant for anybody's guess of what they can do about treatment of that, and then released into surface water. So the question is, does anybody know what about the status of leachates or PFAS in landfill leachate as a potential source getting out?
Ned, thank you. Mayor Fredrickson.
Can I take that? Actually, yeah, we understand that leachate is a high possibility. When we first started looking at our problem, the first thing we looked at was our legacy landfill that was in town. We have a paper company in town. We have a wrapper company, Print Pack, that does candy wrappers. So we had those different issues that it could have been. That being the case, our landfill was not lined. It was sand, and it was covered with phytol remediation, so it had a sand covering. But what we did was we ended up pumping it straight out of there and sending it through our wastewater and then spreading it around three counties. Now, we know we have health effects from that. That being the case, we know the leachate's there. In the comprehensive large scheme, there's a short game for PFAS, and then there's a long game for PFAS. In the long game for PFAS, it's learning how to filter it when you pull the leachate out of those landfills, so you can filter it at also your effluent of your wastewater plants, and then also filter it at consumption. PFAS is most dangerous when it's consumed by humans. Obviously, if it gets to our groundwater, 72% of your body is water, and you exchange it every 64 to 68 hours. So keeping it out of your consumption is the key. So the short game is removing it from the consumptional, the wellheads, or whether it be private lands or whatever, to keep that from being there. The long game, obviously, is removing it from where it can travel in the water and in the streams. One of the things I did early on was I started the River City Coalition of Mayors. And it wasn't necessarily to raise a big red flag on this issue, but it was actually to gain steam that our ecosystem of Sparta or wherever is truly connected. And we're at the headwaters of the Wisconsin. So we truly do affect a large group of people. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah. Why did I get this out on the radar? Because it's all over the place.
Ned, thank you so much. We heard from Sharon in Minocqua, called, couldn't stay with us. Sharon's supportive of the downtown renovations in Rhinelander, thinks they went well. Also wants to highlight Nicolet College and the nonprofit organization, the Art Center.
Oh, absolutely. Art. I just started a competition with Mayor Rosenberg and Mayor Wiesa, an art competition to promote the arts. I paint. Katie paints, and so does Mike. It's on PBS, the auction right now. But we have a wonderful art start. We really do. We're blessed with that.
Really quickly here, we've heard several times on our program that getting broadband access to rural areas like around your area has been really rough recently, especially in the pandemic. What is the situation like for reliable high-speed internet?
The hardest working person I know is Brittany Byer, and she's working on it. So one of the things as a mayor is you build a team of people around you, you inspire them, and then you let them go. You don't micromanage. I don't know exactly where that battle is as far as you know, dollars, what we're getting, but I promise you she's working extremely hard on it. I also promise you people want to be in this area because of our outdoor recreation, so they'll demand it at some point, and it will get here. Is it ever fast enough when it's government? No, never.
Mayor Fredrickson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Chris Fredrickson, Mayor of Rhinelander. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.